The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
This show is brought to you by EarPeeler.com.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audio download and a free 30-day trial at www.audibletrial.com/radmetal. Over 150,000 titles to choose for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Hey guys, I'm Rex.
I'm Liam.
I'm Zach.
And I'm John.
And we are Uncured. And you are listening to Radioactive Metal.
Welcome to Radioactive Metal. Horns up! This is Radioactive Metal, your source for news, views, tunes, and interviews. Here are your hosts, Snowy Rock, Corrine, and Aaron.
Horns up, everyone! Welcome to an uncurable episode of Radioactive Metal. This is episode 497. And I'm Snowy White.
This is Rock.
I'm Corrine.
And this is Aaron. And today's Radioactive Metal podcast has been possessed by the demons within True Cult Coffee. True Cult Coffee is a small town coffee company offering only premium single origin coffees. They strive for world domination by summoning demons who summon the ultimate flavor through fresh roasted deliverance. Coffee Storm, or is it Cafe Storm? I'm not sure. Their first roast is a medium roast coffee summoned from El Salvador that is smooth and elegant, yet strong enough to blow up your planet. New York Helvete is a dark roast from Nicaragua that is full-bodied, bold, and smoky with just a hint of chocolate. Try True Cult Coffee today, because if you're not sold on the flavor, at least you know when you grind it, it'll sound just like a Burzum album. Check them out. Oh. I know, right? Check them out on Instagram at True or trve.kvlt.coffee and go to trvekvltcoffee.com to order. Now, Snowy and Corrine, I know you guys have been drinking the True Cult Coffee, and I'm guessing that you guys have been drinking the Cafe Storm, right? Or Cafe
yes.
Storm? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, have either of you gotten to try Helvete yet?
No.
All right, so check this out. So Mjork Helvete, you both need to try it because Mjork Helvete is Norwegian for dark hell.
Mm-hmm.
I think that will be the blackest coffee that we could possibly find on the market.
That's pretty fucking brutal.
I think so.
Is there a blacker coffee than Dark Hell?
Probably not, no.
Hell no. So, how are all you? Because I've missed you. I'm exhausted, and I'm happy to hang out with all of you. What's going on?
Oh, can't complain. It's been a hell of a weekend so far, but what everything that I got into, you know, I'll get into with the metal fix. I want to know how everything's going with you, particularly I'm hearing a new old voice, shall we say. What's going on, you?
Oh god, let me tell you.
Oh, we lost you,
Kareem. We lost
you. No, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, you're
no,
there.
I think you guys lost yourselves. I'm so here.
You started talking. You say, oh, there's a lot happening. And then they went.
No, I've had one hell of a February. You know, everything from starting a new job to getting a new car to losing the Beagle Bubs and getting into a car accident last week. It's been one fucking wonderful month.
Oh, geez.
Pure hell. So I have been just off the radar a little bit. I've been kind of hiatus on the website. I'm actually at a venue right now for the Wacken Metal Fest Metal Battle for Orlando because I'm part sponsoring it.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at. That's what I want to hear all about.
Yeah.
And like I'm at the venue supposed to be listening to bands play, but I had to step out and call you or have you guys call me on Skype. and do the whole thing. I have been so out of the loop for a whole month that I don't even know where to begin.
Well, sounds to me like tonight you're rocking like Vakken.
I'm trying to.
Yeah.
I'm trying to. Oh, my God. It was so funny because when I pulled up today, when I pulled up to the venue, I'm pretty sure that I saw a guy named Super Dave. He's the metal radio guy for WJRR. And I asked him if I could have a parking spot. And then he started telling me, he goes, oh, you don't want to park there. So-and-so is going to get it. Mikey was just told that he had to leave. And I'm like, okay. I don't know who Mikey is, but okay.
Did you tell him, hey, I'm one of the sponsors for tonight, so can I get a good spot?
No, I'm out of it. I had a one plus at this event, and I didn't even know it.
Oh.
I mean, I found parking, but I also had a one plus, so I was able to get in, and I brought Mr. Curran with me.
Oh, there you go. So when you say you're sponsoring it, remind everybody how and why.
So loudandfierce.com was started, and because of that, people gained a lot of attention through it. And the one who's holding the Vodka Metal Fest sponsorship, whatever you guys want to call it, she hit me up and asked me if I wanted to be a part of it.
Okay.
And that's...
So basically you have your name on the t-shirts, on the posters, and you're one of the sponsors of this this Battle of the Bands thing that they're doing, that mm-hmm. they do every year basically, but this is the Orlando chapter, right?
Correct. Yeah. And it my site had been on hiatus all throughout February because of all the crazy things that have been happening.
Mm-hmm.
So today as we record today, I spent a lot of time figuring out how to import events from Facebook automatically onto my site.
Okay.
So, and categorize it. So now it's a lot easier to go into the city where you live. And right now it's just the Central Florida area. Right now it's just a lot easier to go to the city where you live and see what shows are playing.
Mm-hmm.
And everything has been updated because I haven't been able to do it. So.
Yeah, yeah.
And it actually gives you the directions right then and there, and it just made things 10 times easier for me to do it this way than the old way.
Right, because you probably had to do it all manually before, and now you've probably found a plugin or something with the WordPress, right?
Right. And yeah. the whole Vodka Metal Fest, it's the metal battles, and what it is, it allows competitors to compete for a spot at the Vodka Open Air Festival in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So one winner will be selected from the Orlando region, one winner will be selected from Philadelphia and from all across the United States, and they go to New York for the finals, and then from the finals that one person gets chosen to go to the open air fest.
That's awesome.
Yeah, right on. And are you working in any sort of capacity there tonight, or are you just as one of the sponsors, you're just being there looking pretty?
I'm there looking pretty. I had the option of setting up a booth, but my problem is because I don't have a booth and I don't have merchandise.
Yeah.
I don't have any more lanyards because I sold out all my lanyards. I was just able to take and, just come in and say, look, I'm sorry, I don't have anything. I'm just here. But yeah. I paid my sponsorship fees, so that's all that matters.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure that's all they really, really did. They wanted.
But there's more than... There's more than just one event. There's also, I think, another event in Tampa. And then there's another one. There's, I think, the finals, the Orlando finals are, I think, on the 23rd. I have time between now and then to get things ready, but who knows?
I thought maybe they would have tapped you to be a judge or something.
No, wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, I should have put in for it.
Maybe that would have been a conflict of interest. That may be why they haven't asked you. You're a sponsor and then you're a judge. I don't think that could not be seen as fair.
Be a biased.
Yeah.
Answer.
Yeah. So that's cool. That's cool. Happy yeah, you can do yeah. that.
But I do have to get going though.
Yeah. Yeah. No problem. So go do your thing and go have fun. And we're going to soldier on without you.
Yeah.
I promise next week I'll be here with full force because right now I'm just kind of all over the place.
It sounds like it. It sounds like you're having a good time. But yeah, we do want to remind you the big the big 500 is fast approaching, and it wouldn't be the same without our little Kareen. So
no, I'll be there. I'll be right there, I promise.
Awesome. Right on. Awesome. All right. Well, go do your thing, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Thank you so much.
All right.
Bye. Bye too, pal.
See ya.
All right. Bye.
All right. Well, good to know that she's still alive.
Yeah. Right on. Right on. And out doing something, getting involved with the metal world, and out doing this and that, and getting her name out there, and just... Hey, rock and roll. That's what it's all about.
And that call was really clear considering she was on her phone on Skype.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that came out. That was coming out really, really crisp. I was like fearing how good the connection was going to be, but hey, it was top notch.
Okay, well, let's see if she's out doing this, out kicking ass and all that. I don't know if we're going to be able to top her. I think the girl might have his beat here, so
probably.
Let's find out. Yeah, let's find out what's going on in our world.
Thank you, Backside. Chill out, grab a tin, and enjoy the banter in our little fix.
Okay, bros, what you got?
Who wants to start?
I'll start, man. It's pretty short.
Okay.
So... One, Snowy, I just have to tell you that the Penguins are losing right now to the Maple Leafs, and I'm not happy about it.
Okay.
You know, so, I mean,
I don't live in Toronto, but okay.
Well, but it's Canadian hockey, you know, and I figured, you know,
there's the ugly American coming out already.
All that things Canadian.
10 minutes? That was 10 minutes?
What? What?
Yeah,
All things Canadian. You know?
Yeah, it's all one thing. It all begins and ends with Toronto. Yeah,
pretty much.
Anyways, yes.
Is Toronto, Vancouver. Is there anything else? Is there anything between there?
Montreal.
I was going to say. Oh,
right, Montreal. Right, Montreal.
Montreal.
All right. Yeah.
I want to say something, but I don't want to get derailed here.
Why?
Go on. What do you got? What do you got for your mental fix?
My mental fix has just been educating people to Slayer.
Oh.
I've been spending as much time as I can. I've been all over the board with the stuff I've been listening to this week. Like, I've been on, SiriusXM, Liquid Metal, listened to a lot of stuff there. Dying Fetus. I finally got to hear Dying Fetus.
Oh, cool.
the other day, I'm like, man, this shit's good. But then I've just been educating people in Slayer. I'm spreading the word of Slayer and making sure that people are aware that this is the final tour and that they should go.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. You're a good man.
I show up in a short sleeve, white button down shirt with a skinny black tie. And I have a bunch of CDs that look like, you know, rotting flesh. And I say, do you have a moment to talk about Slayer? You know, I go door to door.
You need more Slayer in your life, sir.
You know, like, we need to talk about your anti-savior.
Nice.
Yeah, and it's funny, you know, my kids go to Catholic school, so I have to be careful about the things I play for them now.
Oh, come on. I went to Catholic school. It didn't matter.
Didn't I tell you the story about Motorhead? Did I tell you guys this?
Maybe I can't remember.
Yeah, something or other, but quickly refresh.
All right, so quickly. So Anastasia, my daughter, she was, I think she was just in pre-K, and she had the nun for her teacher. And she loves Motorhead. Like, I put on Ace of Spades for her all the time. I was putting on Born to Raise Hell. Like, she'd be like, Dad, put on Motorhead. She'd just rock out to it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think I've told you guys her first concert was in the womb, and it was the Misfits. And it's had a profound impact on her, right? So she's walking in the house, and she starts saying, born to raise. And she doesn't say the word hell, because she's like, no, but it's born to raise, born to raise, I'm like, nope, we're done playing that song. Because all I can picture is Sister Trudy calling me out being, so, Mr. Griffith, your daughter was seeing something interesting, you know. I'm just like, conversations I don't want to have, you know. So yeah, so no Slayer, none of that stuff, till they're a bit older, you know.
Yep. That reminds me that the last time I had a sister for a teacher, I was in first grade, and it was Sister Colette. And when you said Sister Trudy, like, oh my God, I had flashbacks. I saw Sister Colette in my head, just ah.
Yep, there are very, very few nuns in the Catholic schools anymore, which is a shame.
Yeah, it's crazy. All right,
so
have anything else, or?
No, man, that's it. Other than I'm drinking a German beer, and that's pretty metal.
Okay, yeah, well, that's better than nothing. Yeah. I want to. Well, my metal fix is it's podcast. You know, I'm kind of busy at work. You know, and I don't listen to a whole lot of music. You know, right now, I don't know, for some reason, podcasts are doing it for me, and listen to quite a bunch. But there's a few I wanted to bring up. All right, I hate to say it. I really hate to say it, but Three Sides of the Coin.
Say it.
You know, Three Sides of the Coin. They had a really cool guest this week, which was Big John Hart. And Aaron, I know you're a more recent Kiss fan. You weren't really following Kiss back in the 70s, but they had.
Well, that's because I didn't discover them till the 80s.
Yeah. Well, if you go back and you look at some of the old pictures from the 70s, a lot of them you're going to see a security guard in the photos. Big, big dude with a big handlebar mustache, you know, and longish hair. And he's usually wearing a sports jacket and stuff. Well, that was Big John Hart. And they had Three Sides of the Coin had him as a guest. And man, that guy has stories. He's got stories.
Oh, no doubt.
He was the guy that when people, paparazzi, and back in the day, paparazzi was not what it is today. They weren't as invasive. But when people were trying to take pictures of the band, he's the guy that you send a picture reaching out with his hand, reaching out for your camera with his hand.
Wow.
He's that guy. He's the guy who would grab the camera, pull out all the film, you know, and then give the photographer $100 or something like that, you know.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he's that guy. So very few pictures of them unmasked back then actually made it out because he was so effective at what he did. But yeah, he was great. He had a lot of cool stories, and I actually met him at the only Kiss convention I've been to that was not the official Kiss convention, but they did I think it was in 2012 or 13. They did one here in Orlando, and he was one of the guests. Super nice guy. I got him to sign my Kissology book. You know, that big, thick book that they put out?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I got him to sign that. I have a page. Yeah, I have the page where Gene, Paul, and Bruce and Eric signed. Well, I had him sign that page, too.
Since
he was head of security. And I remember I found it the other day. I bought an autographed picture of him. It's him and Ace Frehley in a hotel room in Australia. They're just, you know, Ace is like, he's got his makeup on, but he's got like a bathrobe and he's kind of laying sideways on the bed. And he's got the newspaper in front of him. And there's an article saying, oh, Kiss is in Australia. This is like in 1980. And you see him sitting in the back, you know, at the table. And he says, and he told me when he signed the picture, he said, oh, it's me and Ace, we were so drunk on this picture.
That's awesome.
So he's a really nice guy and he's a great interview. So he had great stories. The other thing I listened to was the Josta show. He had Jason Hook on of Five Finger Death Punch.
Okay.
And the reason why I bring it up is he's the guy who produced that movie A Hired Gun that I mentioned on one of my metal fixes in the past.
And that was a killer documentary. I watched it on your recommendation.
Cool. Yeah. Well, Jason talks about it and he's got a lot of inside stories, you know, backstage stories because, you know, he's... You know, there's a lot of stuff that they didn't air. He says they had over 300 hours of footage and the movie's an hour and a half, you know. So he says there's a lot of stuff that didn't make it in the final cut. And he was saying how Steve Lukather absolutely hates the movies, that documentary.
Why?
Well, apparently because he feels like he wasn't shown in the correct light.
Oh, well, it's a documentary. Yeah. Like, what do you want?
Like, because apparently from what Jason Hook said, he thinks that Steve Lukather thinks that Toto is way too underrated, that they should be held in much higher regard than what they actually are and stuff. And, you know, that's the guy's opinion. But, you know, but anyway, it's a really good episode of the Josta Show. Check it out with Jason Hook. There's a lot of inside stuff and it's, you know, It's too, you know, that's the cool thing about Josta. His show is like, you can tell it's two guys just talking, and he knows these guys. You know, he's in the industry. He's a peer, so of course, you know, he's going to have quite different conversations with them than what we do. You know, So it's a lot more personal. So that was a great one. And the last one I want to mention is Chris Jericho. Talk is Jericho. He had the girl, and I did not write down the name, but the girl who on Spotify who does all the rock playlists. So I can't remember her name, but she's like a super big deal apparently. And Jericho was telling her on the podcast, "Oh, everybody told me you got to talk to this girl. You got to talk to this girl. You know, she's over there. Go meet her. And he's like, "Why? Why? She works for Spotify. Who cares? You know?" It's like, well, she's the guy. She can make or break bands. You know, basically, she's like the new big thing in the music industry for when it comes to rock and roll. And she's the person who can make or break a band. And wow. I was like, okay, well, how much does she really know? You know, and then she starts talking about all the shows. She goes to all these shows and she's naming all these bands that she's seen. And I'm like, okay, this girl's legit. She is legit. You know, she's into metal, rock, hard rock, you know, and she knows everything. You know, she knows everything that needs to be known when it comes to hard rock and metal. You know, so I was like, okay. She's okay. The only thing that I regret that I wish they would have talked about, and you hear this a lot on other podcasts where sometimes the artist will talk about Spotify and say, "Oh yeah, we got a million plays and we got 15 cents." You know. Yeah. And Jericho never approached that. He never asked her about that. Now, you know, pull the curtain back a little bit. Once in a while when we do interviews with people, once in a while they'll say, "Oh, I don't want to talk about this, so don't ask about this thing." That's rare. That's very rare in our case. But maybe she did ask him, "Hey, don't talk to me about that." Maybe because she doesn't know how that works. You know, that's not her thing. She does playlists, you know, so maybe she doesn't know how the payouts, how that happens and how much, who gets what and how much and all that stuff. So, yeah. But it was a really, really interesting behind the scenes type thing. On Spotify, you find out a little bit how it works, and you know how she creates these playlists and why, and you know, and she's done playlists. She says she did a playlist with Chris Cornell like 2 weeks before he died.
Wow.
You know, yeah.
Wow.
And she said because of Spotify, she got to meet she met Bono, okay, and she was like, "Oh my God, Bono! Oh shit!" She's like, "This is awesome," and she said, "Well, you know, because of this job, I get to meet Bono and stuff." And she said, "Man, wouldn't it be cool to meet Robert Plant?" Because she's a big Zeppelin fan. And she said, "I just put it out there. I put it out in the world. I said it out loud. I would love to meet Robert Plant." And she said the very next week she met him because of Spotify. You know, so she's really cool. She used to be an A&R person, and she's discovered bands and side bands and for record labels and stuff. So. It's definitely a good listen. I definitely, if you want to know how Spotify works, it's a good interview to listen to.
Oh, I do. Yeah. I'll have to check it out.
Yep.
Yeah, I saw it listed. You know, when I go to, like, I'm always going to Jericho's podcast thing just to see who's on, and if something catches my attention, fine. This particular guest, I did go. You know, maybe I'm kind of on the fence about this, because you may have figured out that I'm not a lover of Spotify. I don't even have an account.
Yeah, me either.
no connection to this crap at all. But I've often said on this show, like, unique guests. There are so many people outside of being in a band that, you know, that have their story to tell and all that. And it sounds like this is a pretty interesting one. So whether or not I agree with it, yeah, I think I'm going to check this out.
Yep,
practice should. What I preach here. Yeah.
Yep.
Right. See, I have Spotify, and I pay for it. Like, I actually have a paid account, and I use the heck out of it because it's great, because I can get like full albums of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, so if there's something I want to try out, like for example, the new Chuck Berry, because it came out right, I guess it was right as he passed, right after he passed, and when an artist puts out an album. I call it the Johnny Cash effect. It's that close to their death. What bothers me is sometimes you can hear that they're on their deathbed, depending on when they recorded it.
Yeah.
And like the last Johnny Cash album, I can't listen to, because I can't listen to this man singing and dying at the same time, you know?
Yeah.
And it bugs me. And that's kind of how I felt about the Motorhead live album a little bit at first. And so I use it to pull up the Chuck Berry record. I'm like, oh shit, this guy was in his prime still. You know, at 80 some years old, he's still knocking them out. I'm like, damn, it sounds all right. You know, so I like being able to do that stuff. But so, Rocker mentioned podcast. Did you check out Dean Del Rey this week with Colin Hanks?
No, I did not check it out. Is that Tom Hanks' son?
Yes. So both you guys need to check it out, because have you? I know I've talked about on the show Tower Records documentary, All Things Must Pass. Have you guys seen it?
No, I don't think so. No.
Okay, so it's badass. It's the rise and fall of Tower Records, but really the rise and fall of the music industry. I had no idea Colin Hanks directed it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so they talk about that, and then I haven't listened to the whole interview yet, but then they start talking about the Eagles of Death Metal documentary that he did.
Oh, okay.
Because he did a documentary on what happened in Paris, the bombing.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah, so it's a hell of an interview. So I can't wait to hear when you get to listen to that one.
Cool. I'll check it out.
Yeah. I've never tuned in to that one. I got 800 million podcasts. I can't even keep track of all the ones that I listen to. And then it's like the week comes and goes, and it's like, oh shit, I missed this week's episode of, you know, insert name here. And then I got to go back and find it and all that. So it just... not just music, but wrestling and horror and just everything that I'm into. So it's good. It's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Well, you're never going to run out of stuff to listen to, which is good.
That's true.
All right. So what you got?
That's true. What do I got? Well, first and foremost, when you guys were talking about the nuns there, that made me think, oh yeah, earlier in this week, I checked out the new Iron Reagan video, Take the Fall, with the undead skateboarding nuns. Oh, that was great.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's like, okay, what kind of sick, twisted mind thinks of this stuff? And can I buy him a beer? Like, that's awesome. <Yeah. laughs> You know, and of course, it's Iron Reagan, great, great, great bunch of guys. So, yeah, that kind of triggered that as well. I tuned in to talk to Jericho myself this week because he had the immortal Randy Bachman on. A pair from Winnipeg.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I listened to that one too. Yes.
Yeah, and Randy Bachman, of course, up here is fucking Elvis. You know, like obviously.
Dude, that guy sounds like he's a lot of fun.
I'm willing. I've not met him. I would like to someday. I can't really think of any reason why I wouldn't have so far. Because, yeah, he seems like he's a lot of fun and very accessible and very down to earth. And
the way he talks, you can tell he's full of life.
Oh, so many stories. Like what the guy had, he barely scratched the surface, you know, and like, I understand, like, I'm from Winnipeg here. That's why I feel this. But when they start name dropping clubs and streets and schools, they name drop my alma mater, Sizzler High.
Okay.
Shout out, Horns Up. Yeah, that was fantastic. I was on the bus, and he dropped the name of my old school. And it's like, yes. And I'm instantly texting with my wife, who I met at that school. And I text my daughter, who went to that school. And it's like, Randy Bachman just name dropped Sizzler.
All right, calm down.
A little bit nerdy. So many great stories as well. Our good buddy on the Turnbuckle Throwbacks podcast here on the Shining Wizards Network, shiningwizards.com. Check his show out as well. Mr. Phil Ray of the Impact Playa, the Yoda of yesteryear, he was going solo on this particular episode. So he was looking for just stuff to talk about. So I got a hold of him and said, hey, Phil, why don't you share us some stories about your old days in the New York hardcore scene?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, okay, yeah, I think I've told this one, and I'm not going to get into any details because I want everyone to go and check it out. But he talked about the unique way that he got integrated sort of as part of the Madball family, just through a friend and all that. And the funny thing about that is he was a big Madball mark before meeting them and before becoming their friends and all that. And once again, you know, I'm on the bus, I'm listening to this, my stop is coming up, you know, I hit the buzzer to get off, but I stop right there on the street because where I'm going is just a block away, but I want to hear this whole story uninterrupted. So I'm just standing there on the sidewalk, you know, just
listen to your podcast.
Yeah. You know, just getting right into it. Yeah. Uh-huh. So yeah, check out Turnbuckle Throwbacks podcast because like Phil's the motherfucking man for sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. As well, I discovered, and here we are once again, okay, don't judge a book by its cover. Bad band name, awesome fucking band, because I discovered Goat Hammer. I'm like, really? Okay, this is kind of dumb, but I'll check them out. You know, I try not to let that stop me. Really, really good war metal band, kind of in that same vein as Bestial Warlust and all that wicked stuff out of Australia the last couple of years. Goathammer hail from Saskatoon. So that really, on. You know, this is our friendly neighbors to the west here. And they recently signed on to Hell's Headbangers. Oh wow, this is really awesome. I hope that Goat Hammer makes its way here, you know, just to, you know, on tour or whatever, and check out their new record, which will be entitled Ceremony of Morbid Destruction, available soon on Hell's Headbangers. Check that out. I was cranking the first single, whatever a single is in this day and age. And the old demos were up on YouTube as well, sounding really good. I can see why the good folks at HH picked them up. And finally, last night, Soulfly came through town. Well, I don't know. It's Soulfly the people, okay, the musicians, the guys that we know so well. But they were all doing Nail Bomb stuff. They all did that Point Blank record in its entirety, and I'm really getting into this because just a couple episodes ago I did a really cool phoner with Max Cavalera from the band in anticipation of this tour.
Yep.
And it stopped here, and of course on this bill was the mighty Today Is the Day as well. And of course Lodi Kong, his son's band, was on the bill, and as well as tonight's Creature feature Uncured as well. That was my first time checking them out, and you know, I had a it was kind of a quick chat for what we were kind of up against, but I think it was a good representation of everything about the band. I had an absolutely fantastic time. One of the highlights was, as you know, my good buddy Dustin is kind of laid up because he didn't get hit by enough cars last week, as you may recall. Mm. And so he's just kind of sitting back, chilling while everyone's moshing and thrashing and drinking and having a good old time. But he's still there, still supporting because he fucking rocks. Well, every once in a while, I'd go back to see how he's doing and all that. And God damn it, if Steve Austin isn't sitting with him. Now, are we talking the $6 million man? No. Are we talking about the pro wrestler? No. We're talking the Steve Austin, the one we're most interested in, and that's from the main man behind Today's the Day. And I went over there and introduced myself and said hi. It would have been nice to have been able to talk to you, and I'm, you know, this, that, and another thing. Hopefully, we will be able to get Mr. Austin on soon enough. And before we throw down a track, I wanted to say horns to Mr. Cavalera, because, you know, dude comes out, he's got a home wrecker shirt on. Very first thing I noticed. Like, this guy is legit. Like, you might think, he's a big rock star, been there, done that. No, he digs the obscure young bands that, you know, he wants to get behind and all that. Home wrecker is a favorite of his. So, just for being such an awesome dude, we are going to drop the title track of Home Wrecker's Circle of Death record.
Was an awesome track, but you know what? I was expecting, you know, Circle of Death. I was half expecting it to be a cover song, and because it made me think of Circle of Tyrants by Celtic Frost, but also Angel of Death. So could you see that, like a band that covers? They cover half of Circle of Tyrants and half of Angel of Death, and they become Circle of Death.
Right on.
I'm an idiot. I'm sorry.
No, that's actually fantastic. We're going to get Matt Izzy from the band on the show very, very soon. And it's like, you know what? I'm going to run that by him just to see if maybe not to re-record it, but maybe to do it live. This is our new version of Circle of Death. The metal audience that loves Homewrecker would dig it. The hardcore, maybe not so much. I think, though, a band that we can all dig and get behind is a young, upcoming young bucks called Uncured. Now, the thing about Uncured is they're not signed. And we like to hold our creature features, you know, for bands that are signed to reputable labels and that are out there, you know, doing it and all that. I honestly, when I first heard of Uncured, okay, and saw that they were on this tour and all that, I thought they were signed. Because here is a band, total workhorses, on tour all the time, which that's what you have to do, and you know it helps to have that label support. And their PR is pounding me with their record, and they're all over the media and all that. Like they're being, like they've hooked up with a, you know, like a decent sized label getting their name out there and all that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do have a small connection to Century Media, but they're pretty much, you know, total DIY, which I found out when I had the good opportunity last night to sit down and speak with Zach Cox, Rex Cox, Liam Manley, and John Kitta, their bassist. And the interesting thing, and this is one of the reasons why I also wanted to talk to Uncured as well, is because I can really relate to Mr. Kitta because he used to be in Diecast many moons ago. Okay, he's a veteran. He's out there. Like, he's been out there, been there, done that. The rest of Uncured barely look like they're out of high school. You know, go see their videos. Better yet, go check them out live. And when I call them young bucks, it's like, yeah, they really are. They really are. And so I had a really good time speaking to Mr. Kitta about that because I can relate. He's hanging out with these young kids and showing them the ropes and the ways of the world and all that. And I'm kind of the same thing. Outside of you two, okay, all of my friends are half my age and all that. So that was something that we managed to bond over while we had this wicked chat from the unsigned, but you would never know it, progressive power death quartet, Uncured. Oh, but before we do that, their kick-ass record Medusa, who they said in this interview is but a year old now, is out now and available. Pick it up when they're on tour. Let's go with their first single, Stygian Valley. We'll be right back.
first and foremost, I figure we're probably going to be introducing you guys, hopefully, to a whole new set of ears and audience with this show. Maybe someone can give just a quick, brief bio, who you are, what you do, your mother's maiden name, whatever you feel would be good to help introduce yourself.
Sure. So we are Uncured. We're a progressive death metal four-piece from New York City. But we also have some groove elements as well as technical aspects, breakdown, stuff like that. This is our first time in Winnipeg, Canada. We're currently on tour with Soulfly.
I'm ready to jump in if you need it.
Yeah, and then after that, we're heading on with Cradle of Filth and Ginger.
We released our first album a year ago tomorrow, so it's almost the one-year anniversary of Medusa. It is our first full-length album altogether. We have one instrumental EP that we did a few years earlier, but the start of the band really starts with that first release of Medusa, as well as our first tour, which started last March. So it's pretty much our one-year anniversary as a full-time touring group.
Wow. And just in that 1 year, I got to say, you guys have accomplished a lot. Like 2017, like a banner year for any band, but for a band as young as you guys, well, maybe not you. You're kind of an old timer. Yeah. Right? Yeah. But for a band as young, and I'm going to get to that soon enough. for a band as young as you guys have accomplished so much. 2017, just an incredible year. What's the response, first and foremost, to Medusa has been like so far?
It's been great all around. Live reactions have been great, as well as critical reviews of the record. So we're happy to see that the record first and foremost stands for itself, but it translates well live.
Speaking of our reviews, it won a top 10 album on Axis of 2017. So already making charts first year in, along with great bands like Fit for an Autopsy and Trivium, who we listen to all the time.
Right.
We're very honored to be among some of our heroes, you know?
For sure. Yeah, and the thing that really, really strikes me is that you guys are not signed. You guys are independent, right?
That is correct.
We're completely outside.
And that's the thing that really makes me go, wow. I see you guys, on Justice Podcast, and I see, the name in the press, and you guys are all over the place, even more than some of the more reputable labels that I deal with. How do you guys do it?
We're not signed, and we're independent because we like the freedom that gives us as a band. We have done some work with a booking agent and somebody affiliated with Century Media, but we're not officially linked to either of them. So it gives us the opportunity to, work with a wide variety of people that have our best interests involved.
Also, coach this is a full-time job, 24 hours a day.
I would sing that way.
That also goes into the entire package.
Right. And with that full-time job and with that 24-hour thing, touring, when I checked you guys out, who you guys have toured with the last couple of years, amazing. You guys just must have an amazing amount of stories that you must tell already. You guys were out with Children of Bodom and 36 Crazy Fist and Devil Driver. Were these bands, you must have been fans going into these tours, must have been amazed.
Our first tour was with Catatonia, who's a band we saw as babies. We were 10 years old. We were on our parents' shoulders at a Catatonia show. Then our first tour is oh shit, we're going out with Catatonia next March. And it's oh no way, that's so sick. We've seen them open for Opeth three times or something. Yeah. And it's always cool to tour with bands that you
are a fan of.
Look
up to.
So every band that we've been on tour with, we're big fans of. So glad for that.
Right on. And I mentioned at the start of the interview, you guys are awfully young. I could have fathered you guys. Holy shit. Has that been a help or a hindrance Like, do you guys get taken seriously? I mean, you should. You gotta let the music do the talking. But any instances in which
it's a huge help to us because we're starting so young. We've got years to learn, mm-hmm. and we have just miles to go. So we're not going to be worried that 10 years down the road we're going to be out of time. We've got 30, 40 years ahead of us of doing this band. We don't plan on quitting anytime soon. As far as the age goes, I mean, that's up to people who consume our media to really pay attention to. We let the music speak for itself. We don't try to push any young aspect. In fact, we try to hide it just because we want the music to speak for itself.
Right.
And that's the only thing you should be paying attention to.
A lot of times you've heard people say before a show, wow, I didn't hear you guys before, but when you got on stage, you looked so young. But as soon as you guys started playing, I was like, holy shit, what are these guys? And our age has never been a hindrance. It's just... or another full-time touring metal band, age aside.
It
happens to be young. And if your eyes were closed, you wouldn't be able to tell.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah, definitely. That's what I was thinking as well. But, John.
As he closes his eyes and turns to me.
You, though, have been around the block a few times. Are you not a former member of DieCast?
I am a current member of DieCast.
Okay, it's still a thing.
It's still a thing, but not. There's no more than maybe two or three shows a month, a tour here and there. This is my full time.
All right. How much older are you than these guys?
Last year, before I turned 37, you could add both Rex.
Oh.
Should you take that call? You can take that call.
No.
Just link her in. It's cool.
No, I don't know.
last year, you were able to actually add their ages together and get mine.
Wait, you're what are you right now?
I was 36 when you were 17 and you were 19.
So what are you now?
I'm 37.
So is that double?
That's three, four times that. Yeah, close to it. Yeah, I'm pretty much double their age, almost double his age. But I mean, I'm no spring chicken, but there's a part of me that, like, I feel better than ever. You're touring for 10, 15 years. Is one thing, but touring relentlessly like that and just not taking care of yourself and all that can really catch up with you.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point in my life, I feel like much more confident with what I am, what I have to offer, etc., that kind of thing. So, yeah, I'm not gonna lie, you know, I gotta keep up with these kids, you know, and they've got like 20 years on them or anything like that. But at the same point, I just try to do my best to do that and hopefully.
How did you guys find him? Did you just come up to the old folks home and say him?
They checked me out of the old folks home.
Right. I can relate because all of my friends are like my daughter's age.
Yeah.
You know, so I totally relate. So
I joined DieCast at 17. So before it was everybody was older than me, and now everyone's younger than me. So
there you go. So where did you find this guy?
Where we were recording at Conclave Studios in New York, he was the engineer, producer, actually engineer master, whatever you want to call it. He was working there, and that's how we met him. So, he was very helpful during the process. I mean,
John was a huge help on the record, and he also, of course, played guitar amazingly well. So when we were looking for a bassist, we were short on time because we had finished the album right in time for the Catatonia tour, and of course, we were so pressed for time, we needed a bass player, and John offered, and we were like, we absolutely love to have you. We know he's a great guy, and he's been an absolute pleasure to tour with. And having his experience on the road has been valuable too. So he's taught us a few things we never would have figured out ourselves, or at least 10 years down the road. So he's been an absolute help for the band, and it's been great having
Seeing
him.
That it's a family business too, I just can't imagine like just taking anybody and putting them in a band with your family, that kind of thing. So having known them for a few years and everything made it that much easier for us to all just kind of like coalesce and go out on the road and be just no problems whatsoever.
Speaking of the road and all that, since you're always on the road and all that, there's got to be one of those gigs where it's just like, oh, fuck, if I ever have another gig like that, I'm going to scream my head off and all that. You got to have nights like that. Without incriminating anyone, like, what was your worst gig that you guys have encountered?
Well, definitely the first show ever, months ago, like, but for the most part, every show for us is like 95 to 100%. And like on the occasional 95% night, we're all like, oh, it's too bad. I rushed this a little bit here. I'm not happy about that. But no one in the crowd will notice that. As long as we bring it with visual energy, and as long as the crowd can tell we're loving what we're doing, they won't hear any mistakes and they'll love it just as much.
I mean, for us, it's all about making connections with fans. So regardless of the venue, what the time or the day, it's just we're here to put on a killer show. And nothing's going to stop us from doing that. We're always going to give 100% every single night. There is no real bad show for us.
That's good. That's what I wanted to hear.
That's what I mean, my least favorite is probably the show where I'm sick or whatever, a tour.
Yeah, it's
still, I don't think you can tell from the audience.
Right.
We're also like hypercritical of our performances to not to a fault, but to a point where we're always honing in on what we need to change and all that. We videotape each one of the sets and we watch it back in the van. It's like football, you know what I mean? Like we're watching all of our plays and all that kind of stuff and figuring out how we can improve for the next night. So that hypercritical aspect of it makes it better performance the following night and then continue just to upgrade as we continue, make it better.
Right on, that's what I wanted to hear. And finally, we're kind of watching the clock. It's going to be a long night. The next 365 days for the band, what's going on? Give us a little preview.
We have things that we're about to announce that I would tell you, but we're not allowed to.
Okay, no, I've been there, done that. Been there, done that.
But that is what we'll be up to. Yeah. So it's pretty much 19 more shows in a row with Soulfly, no days off.
I think
then we have 18 or something. Then we have a few days off, 20 shows with Cradle of Filth and Ginger. Then we'll be home for a while to work on writing new material. We have some announcements for August and September. As Rex said, it'll be coming out soon. But when we're not on tour for those 2 months, we'll be working on our new album.
Right. Yeah, we have the whole year booked.
Yeah, excellent.
If you're not tuned in to the Shining Wizards, listen to what some of our fans have to say about the show.
You guys suck. You guys suck.
Tune in live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. East, rantemradio.com. It's the Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
So, guys, you know, that band? I like my metal the way I like my bacon. Uncured. Yeah?
Okay.
You get it? Uh-huh. All right. But, you know, it's tough, you know, like much like trying to find uncured bacon, it is hard to find all the metal and all the podcasts that you want to find in one place. Like I need a place that I can like find everything, you know, because I was texting you guys about that before. Like, is there any place I could go to get everything in one spot?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Where do I go?
You go to earpeeler.com.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going there now. Now, what am I going to find there?
You're gonna
find us because we're pretty metal.
You're gonna find us, and you're gonna find hundreds of other podcasts there. Because earpeeler.com, what they do is they do all the dirty work for you. You know, so if you don't, some people like to subscribe to their podcast that they like to listen to on Apple Podcasts, but you know, sometimes some people like Snowy, they just like to listen to one or two episodes here or there. Well, Earpeeler, you know, you go to their site and. You know, you don't have to subscribe to all the podcasts because they have everything listed there, and you just go there and you just go down the list and you see what this podcast has just published an interview with so and so, and this podcast has done an interview with so and so, and it's just not just metal. He does also a little bit of wrestling, a little bit of pop culture. So I mean, it's your one stop shop for to find all your favorite podcasts. So,
dude, I'm there right now. Check this out. So we're right at the top, episode 496.
There you go.
And then so is the Shockwaves podcast. So is the he's got this great scrolling thing. They have the Modern Drummer podcast had somebody on it. Mitch LaFone, a rock talk with Mitch LaFone. Am I pronouncing that properly?
LaFone, Mitch LaFone.
Yeah. Dude, like shit, man! Everything's here. They've got audio and video podcasts. This is pretty killer.
It's a great site.
Yeah, man. All right. Well, thank you guys for that. That helps.
So yeah, so go out, everybody, and go check out earpeeler.com.
Right on. And while you're at it, and check it out, all podcasts and all of the stuff in the podcasting world, be sure as well. I know another site that has some wicked podcasts, and that's shiningwizards.com. all sorts of wicked.
ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Check us out there if you're listening on some other way. Plus, we got a metric shit ton of cool pro wrestling, lifestyle, pop culture, you name it. It's all there. So check it out. How are we for time?
We may be able to stick it to 60 minutes.
That's nice. Time to say goodnight, sweetheart.
Yes.
I think so.
We've all had some long days today.
Long weeks.
I had to pressure wash my house and paint the front of my house, so I'm fucking dead right now.
Dude.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to go out on a downer, but I do want to say hello and horns up to former Radioactive Metal alumni Dominic Romeo, he of Integrity fame. We had been pushing the A389 Recordings record label now for a few years, playing as much stuff as we can and just doing what we can to get their shit out. And Dom just can't do it anymore. He's got so much on his plate. It was a cool DIY label working out of his basement and all that. So many great bands that A389 put on the map, including Integrity, Ilsa, Genocide Pact. They put out releases from I Hate God, Full of Hell, Chokehold, Homewrecker, we played earlier, Primitive Man, they did a Black Dahlia released, Weekend Nachos, Gate Creeper, In Cold Blood, Ringworm, just so many awesome bands that just wouldn't be half that they are without Dominic's help. So I'm sorry to hear that, and good luck to Dom and all of his I don't want to say this, Rock, but to all of his future endeavors.
No, why'd you go there?
Yeah, I don't know. I started saying it, and then it's like, no, I shouldn't say it, but I don't mean it that way. and I think Dom will get that reference. Sorry, dude. Well, he's blowing out the last of the releases, so, you know, get on Google A389, and, you know, let's help make the transition as easy as possible.
Yes.
In the meantime, okay, Rock, how can people get a hold of us?
Well, you can go to facebook.com/radmetal, where that's the main place where you can follow us and interact with us. Twitter.com/radmetal666 and Instagram.com/radmetal666. We tweet and we Instagram, so what else is there to say? So, at radioactivemetal.org, where you can go and find all the episodes, if that's your way that you prefer to listen to podcasts. You know, all the episodes are there. There's over 100 episodes. Or you can find us on the Apple Podcast, of course. That's probably where you're listening to us right this second. But we're also on TuneIn.com and any podcast aggregator out there. They all get their source from the same place, from all the RSS feeds. So we're fucking everywhere, just like everybody else. We're everywhere. So, and support us if you can. We have an Amazon store. So you go to our Facebook page, and you right at the top, there is a link to our Facebook, to our Amazon store. And you just click on the link, and you shop like you normally would. And we get a small slice of the pie when you purchase something. And it doesn't cost you anything extra. And we also have T-shirts for sale. Go to radioactivemetal.org. There's a link there to our T-shirt store in the store tab. My God, that's wow, rocket science, you know. And so go there and support us in any which way you can. We would greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah. And when you buy a T-shirt, if you set us up with some digits, I'll be more than happy to give you a personal shout out, a phone call, just to thank you for all of your support and all that, you know. So if you don't mind like a drunk phone call at 4 a.m. after a long night of partying at Soulfly, then if you don't mind that, then yeah, set us up and, you know, I'll give you a shout. I would be more than happy to. If you guys don't mind, let's go out with a die-cast song, one of their bigger songs, I guess. How about Rise and Oppose? And guys, after listening to this song, go on YouTube, go check out the video. Easy on the eyes, shall we say. In the meantime and in between time, that's it. This has been an uncurable episode of Radioactive Metal. I'm Snowy White.
This is Rock.
And this is Aaron.
Signing off.
At radioactivemetal.org or go to iTunes for past episodes and write a review. Listen to us live every Thursday night on purerockradio.net. You can listen to us on Stitcher.com, TuneIn.com, Google Play, and all other podcast aggregators. You can purchase the music featured in this episode by going to radioactivemetal.org or clicking on the episode link. Leave us a voicemail, we want to hear from you. Call 321-80-HEAVY or 321-804-3289. We will play it on the show. For suggestions and indie spotlight submissions, email us at radmetal666@gmail.com. Follow us at facebook.com/radmetal, twitter.com/radmetal666, and Instagram Radioactive Metal. This has been a presentation of Radioactive Metal. It's not metal, this, it's radioactive metal.